proven theory of man-made global warming. And friends, they have an agenda. It's an agenda to rule the world and to gain dominion, global dominion, through this engine of global warming. The Weather Channel founder, John Coleman, at the end of last year, declared global warming the greatest scam in history. What do you think? Are you being deceived? Are we all being deceived? Perhaps we need to put our trust in God and just be good trustees, realizing that God made the earth for man, not man for the earth. Thanks for joining us. I trust that it's been helpful. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. God bless. Be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next half hour, they're going to be the views of Chuck Baldwin, a friend from who's a minister in Pensacola, Florida, but he's also running as the constitutional candidate for the presidency of the United States. And, of course, one of the problems we have is that there's not really a dime's worth of difference between the leaders of the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. The Republicans certainly have given us the largest deficits of all time, massive government spending, taking us into a war that the vast majority of the American people don't want. And, well, there's some people who say if we get another 4-year term of George Bush headed by John McCain, why, we're in real trouble. And, of course, John McCain will apparently continue the Bush legacy, and is that what we want? Or do we want the radical leftist of Hillary Clinton and Obama? Well, certainly let's find out what Chuck Baldwin believes and what he would do if he were the President of the United States. Chuck, it's so good to have you with us again.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's a delight to be with you once again.
All right, fine. Now, this is an entirely different audience, so you don't have to worry about repeating yourself. So let's talk a little bit about what is your platform, what are you going to stand for, and why are you different than the other three candidates?
Well, the first thing that I think separates me from any of the others is that when I take the oath of office, I will mean it. The oath of president says that I swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of president, that I will preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. And that's exactly what I intend to do. I intend to preserve, protect, and defend the U.S. Constitution. I will take that oath very, very seriously, and I will seek as president to execute the office in concordance with the Constitution of the United States. The first thing we will do is we will do what the Constitution says as the executive branch of government, and we will protect the country against invasion. And right now we have an invasion going on across our southern border with illegal immigration. Our federal government is doing nothing about it. And the three major candidates, Hillary, Obama, John McCain, they're three peas in a pod. They are all will do nothing to prevent illegal immigration. They all want amnesty for illegal aliens. We will close the border. We will stop illegal immigration. We will punish the employers who are knowingly hiring illegal aliens. We will stop this invasion that's coming across our southern border. That's the very first thing we would do. On the first day of office, I would release Border Patrol agents Ramos and Campion that have been incarcerated by this administration for trying to protect our country and enforce our border laws. I think it is a tragedy that these men are still behind bars. The day that I walk into the White House, they walk out of jail.
All right, Fadi, certainly. That, I think that a lot of Americans would agree with that. How do you feel about the war over there in Iraq? And what are we going to do after all? If we pull out, there's going to be chaos.
Yeah. Well, obviously, we're going to have to protect our troops and our civilian personnel as we extract them. But we have to have a plan in place to extract our troops. We cannot stay there perpetually. Unlike John McCain, who says that we should stay there for 100 years, when I'm president of the United States, we will begin the process of bringing our troops home. Safely, systematically, methodically, but we will bring our troops home. We have to get back to the constitutional way of fighting war. We do not invade and occupy countries without a declaration of war from Congress. We do not meddle in the internal affairs of other nations.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in a moment. All right, Chuck, go right ahead.
It's just important that we regain the trust of the American people as a government. And I think right now, all of the polls, I don't care which poll you look at, the American people as a whole do not trust the federal government. They don't trust the White House. They don't trust Congress. They believe that they have been forsaken by their elected representatives. They believe that the motivations are wrong, the methods are wrong, and the reason for all of this is our country has gotten away from the Constitution. I think it's important that whoever occupies the White House after January of 2009 is someone that the people will trust to keep their word and to restore integrity to the White House. And the only way to do that is to show the American people that there are no hidden motives, no hidden agendas, no personal agendas. We're not here to satisfy the machinations of the corporate elite or the globalists. We are here for the purpose of fulfilling our oath of office to the Constitution and to the people that elected us. And I think when it comes to the war, we have to understand that we only fight wars whenever it is absolutely necessary to the safety and security of the people of this country or the territory of the United States. And we do that through a proper debate in Congress, a proper explanation of the reasons for conducting the war. The People's House, the House of Representatives, has to be convinced that war is in the best interest of America, that has to be spelled out plainly and clearly. The American people have to trust that their government is doing the right thing, and then a formal declaration of war be made by Congress. That, of course, gives the power to the president to wage war at that time. Otherwise, what we have is what's been going on in Iraq. We have a situation that is untenable. It's a situation that's unwinnable. It's a situation that it just breeds more chaos, more confusion, a never-ending conflict. And I think the American people, quite frankly, are fed up with it. We don't want, it's not a matter of losing. It's a matter of protecting the interests of the United States. And the longer we stay in an environment like we're in today, the more our troops are at risk, the more our country is at risk, the more our future security is at risk. We are endangering the United States of America every day that we stay in that situation.
All right, certainly. I think that a lot of people would feel that we've really got to get out, but the question is, how long do you think it would take to withdraw our troops from there and from Afghanistan safely?
Yeah, sitting here today and not being in the Oval Office, it would be impossible for me to put a timeline on it. Dr. Stan, I think you know that.
Okay, you held out the thoughts. We'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Chuck Baldwin, and of course he's running for the presidency on the Constitution Party ticket. The Constitution Party has fielded presidential candidates through the years, but never really. I think they got 300,000 or 400,000 votes the last time around. A lot of people are going to say, but you know, why throw your vote away on a third party candidate? After all, you know, one of the Democrats or Republicans is going to win. And wouldn't it be a lot better with a terrible Republican than a terrible Democrat?
Well, you know, I think it was Albert Einstein who said that that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And we've been doing the same thing over and over and over again. Every 4 years, the boogeyman comes out of the closet, and that's the liberal Democrat. And all the conservatives and the evangelical Christians cry out, oh, we can't have the boogeyman, so we got to take the, quote, lesser of two evils, and we got to put a Republican, even if the Republican will not represent our values and our principles, even if he will not obey the Constitution, even if we know that he won't close the borders, we know that he doesn't take his oath seriously, we know that he's an internationalist, a globalist, we're going to vote for him anyway because he's not as bad as the next guy. And so we get the same thing every 4 years and nothing changes.
Well, of course, one of the arguments is going to be that certainly with a Republican president, there at least we'd have a chance of getting some good Supreme Court justices in openings are going to occur in the next 4 years in all probability, and we certainly wouldn't want Hillary or Obama picking the Supreme Court judges, even as bad as the Republican candidate is, and maybe there are a lot of people don't like him. At least there's an opportunity to get some conservative judges on the Supreme Court and maybe begin to turn America around back to our Constitution. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, well, and first of all, people that are waiting for John McCain to appoint true constructionist judges to the bench are living in a fantasy world. Remember that John McCain was one of the original Gang of 14 liberal Republicans who opposed conservative constructionist judges to the bench. He has a career track record as opposing true conservatives to the bench, as well as in every other way. John McCain has opposed pro-life Republicans throughout his career, pro-life judges. He has opposed conservative judges. This is a man who all you're going to get from John McCain is conservative rhetoric during the election season. As soon as he's in office, he's going to revert back to what he has always been, and that's a liberal Republican. And people that think that John McCain is going to give us a conservative court are dreaming.
All right, fine. Well, no, there's certain basic things that I think a lot of people are concerned about. Certainly probably 10 to 15% of our population will vote on the gun right issue, and certainly we know that both Hillary and Obama want to take the guns away from the people. I don't know where McCain stands on gun rights. What about you? Where do you stand on the right of the people to keep and bear arms to protect themselves, you know, against the excesses of government?
I will be the best friend that gun owners ever had in the White House. I firmly believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in all the Constitution, including the Second Amendment. I personally believe in, of course, I'm a Christian, and I believe in God's blessing and sovereignty and so forth. But I believe that under God, humanly speaking, the only reason that we have any semblance of freedom left in America today is because of the Second Amendment. And I will faithfully protect and preserve the rights of the American people to keep and bear arms. John McCain, on the other hand, has a career record of opposing gun rights. Remember, he is the author of the McCain-Feingold bill, which says that the NRA or the Gun Owners of America or any other pro-guns group does not have the right to free speech and cannot speak their opinion 60 days before a general election. He's one of the authors of that bill. This is a man that has an F rating by the Gun Owners of America. You can't get any worse than that. When it comes to gun ownership, to the preservation of the Second Amendment, John McCain is just as bad as Hillary or Obama.
All right, what about the pro-life issue? Certainly a lot of Christians feel very, very strongly about that. And of course, they will, you know, probably 10 to 15% of the Republicans will vote specifically on the pro-life issue. And of course, about 15% of the Democrats will vote on the other side. In other words, they will oppose anybody who's pro-life. Does McCain stand on that? Where do you stand on that?
I'm 100% pro-life, Dr. Stan, as you know. In fact, in this race, I will be the only national candidate that is pro-life. Obama and Clinton and McCain have a track record in the U.S. Senate as being pro-choice. John McCain, his abortion record is abysmal. By the same token, Bob Barr, who's running as a libertarian, also will not take a pro-life position into the race. I'm the only candidate that will be a pro-life candidate for president in 2008.
All right. Well, now let me ask you a really tough question. Ron Paul has, Congressman Ron Paul, as a libertarian, and I think many of our listeners might very well support his ideas on most things, but he thinks that the federal government should not be involved in prosecuting drug crimes. He thinks that this is something that ought to be left up to the states rather than to the federal government. Now, admittedly, why today we have 2.3 million Americans in prison. That's one out of every 100 American adults is in prison. In fact, one out of every 32 American adults is in prison, probation, or parole, most of them on drug charges. But don't you think that the federal government should be doing something to enforce our drug laws? Certainly, would you agree with Congressman Ron Paul that this is no business of the federal government?
Well, no, I wouldn't go that far with it. I certainly believe that law enforcement is according to the Constitution, reserved for the states and the local communities. But also, I believe that the Constitution gives to the federal government the responsibility of protecting the borders. And I look at the drug issue in the same way that I would look at illegal immigration. It is the responsibility of the federal government to protect the borders of our country. I mean, that is clearly a responsibility of the federal government. And just as I would protect the borders against illegal aliens, I would also protect the borders against illegal drugs. I think that we have a responsibility as a federal government to stop this flow of drugs that's coming into America, mostly from Mexico. And I think as a part of closing the border against illegal immigration, one of the things that we're going to do at the same time is severely curtail the flow of drugs into the United States, because most of us coming across the southern border from Mexico.
Well, here's one of the big problems has been that, at least in the past, the Bush administration, up until very, very recently, has absolutely refused to prosecute the employers who were employing people who they knew were immigrants. And certainly, recently, they're trying to make people think, oh, well, we certainly are going to do the right thing. So they have actually gone into a few of the plants and arrested the illegal immigrants that were working there. And, of course, there is a law against hiring illegal immigrants. They promised back in 1986 to enforce that law, but they refuse to enforce laws that they don't want to enforce, because really they're people who want a multicultural, want a multilingual society. They really want to destroy the very soul of America. How do you feel about prosecuting employers who actually are employing people that they know are illegal immigrants?
Right. Well, I alluded to that just a few minutes ago. That's the second part of the plank on illegal immigration. The first part is to close the border. The second part is to prosecute the employers that hire them. when you dry up the money supply, the illegal alien will have no source of income, and he'll have to go back home. It's not hard to do. All you have to have is a president with the will to do it. Now, I agree with you that this is not an accident. I believe it's intentional. I personally believe that, as you said, they want to blur the border. They want to eliminate the border so as to create this regional, hemispheric government entity. Call it the North American Community or the North American Union. It's a reality. The Security and Prosperity Partnership that President Bush and the President of Mexico and Canada have signed, and they've been working in secret agreements about it ever since. This is a reality. Dr. Stan, when I take the oath of office, the New World Order comes crashing down. There's no more NAFTA, no more CAFTA, no more FTAA, no more NAFTA Superhighway, North American Union. It's all dead on arrival when I come into the White House. And I really believe that the reason that they're leaving these borders open, they're not prosecuting these employers, is because they want to merge America into this hemispheric entity. And when I become president, all that is dead.
Well, that's not going to be very popular with the powers that be in this country, with the people who own the great wealth, the bankers, the corporations, or these people who have embraced this globalist philosophy. But don't you think you're going to get an awful lot of opposition, if you tried to actually do something to stop this move to destroy the sovereignty of our nation?
Sure, I expect that. These people are not going to go away quietly. I certainly expect that there would be tremendous opposition. But so be it. I mean, I'm not afraid to do what I believe is the right thing to do. And when it comes to the office of president, I'm going to take an oath before God and the American people to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. And Dr. Stan, I'm going to do that to the best of my ability. And if the American people put their trust and confidence in me and give me the opportunity to do that, I will be faithful to that responsibility.
Well, of course, Congressman Ron Paul speaks a great deal about the Federal Reserve System, about the fact that we have a fiat money system with nothing behind our currency, right, and that, you know, we're going to have a continuing and perhaps increasing levels of inflation if we don't do something to get back to sound money. How do you feel about sound money? Do you think that we should be thinking about having something backing our money? Can we trust the government? Pardon me, can we trust the central bank made up of private individuals to give us a sound money, or are they using the monetary system to enrich themselves?
Right. I agree wholly with Ron Paul on that issue. I want to abolish the IRS, the 16th Amendment, and return America to sound money, get rid of the Federal Reserve.
All right, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment with Pastor Chuck Baldwin, who is the Constitution Party candidate for the presidency of the United States. And when we get back, we will take a couple of your questions here and right here at Radio Liberty. Well, you know, of course, if you were to become the president, we're in terrible economic straits. Certainly we have the housing crisis, we have a series of bubbles, we have the debt crisis, we have the credit card crisis, we have the derivative crisis. I mean, we have massive debts here in the United States. In fact, some people believe that the whole financial system is beginning to quake at the present time. How in heaven's name will we ever be able to manage the financial mess that they've got us into?
Well, I think two things. First of all, we have to, as we said right before the break, we have to return America to sound money. The Federal Reserve is the problem, not the solution. This fiat money system is a problem, not a solution. This excessive income tax is a problem, not a solution. The IRS is a problem, not a solution. We've got to get the American government back to living within its means, Dr. Stan. The government has pretty much created this by living beyond its means for so long, printing money out of thin air. We've created this housing crisis. We've created the energy crisis. I would get rid of the Department of Energy. I would begin to drill for the oil that we know is there. The government knows it's there. The businesses know that it's there. We need to drill for the oil in Alaska that we know is there. There's more oil in Alaska than there is in Saudi Arabia. There is no reason for the United States to be dependent on OPEC for our energy. There's no reason that gasoline should cost more than $1.50 a gallon. We can become energy dependent. And this ethanol stuff and converting corn to fuel is just adding to the problem. All that does is take away the food source, the food supply. It increases inflation for the food, and that's why the price of bread and groceries are going up, milk's going up. It's just crazy. Everything they're promoting, everything that our government is doing is only adding to the problem. And until we start living within our means as a government, until we get our economy back under a sound money system, until we begin getting rid of these excessive departments in the federal government and start trimming the government back to the confines of the Constitution, there will be no solution. And somebody's got to have the courage to step up to the plate and do it. And with God's help, Dr. Stan, I'll do it.
Well, now, getting the message out is going to be one of the hardest things in the world. Are you going to use the Internet? Are you going to use YouTube? Are you going to be making speeches that can be broadcast all over the country and circumvent the controlled media? What are your plans?
That's exactly what we're going to do. I just put up a speech on the military and veterans issues today. It's up on YouTube right now. Just went up this afternoon. We'll be doing that, putting up videos constantly. Our webpage is going up. It's not finished yet, but hopefully in the next few days it will be finished. Our webmasters are working feverishly to get it up and running. Can I give the address?
You certainly can, but we'll want to give it again. But you give it now, and then as soon as we get all of our stations back on board, we'll give it again. But tell us what it is.
Okay. It's Baldwin2008.com. Baldwin2008.com. And as soon as that's up and running, we'll have all of it up there. But we're going to be using the Internet in much the same way that Dr. Paul did. And by the way, I don't know if your listeners know this, but I was a strong proponent of Dr. Paul's candidacy during the Republican primaries. I campaigned for him in Iowa. I campaigned for him in South Carolina. I traveled with him. I was proud to support him. And, I really tried to encourage him to abandon the Republican Party whenever it was obvious that he wasn't going to win the nomination and try an independent bid. And he chose, for his own reasons not to do so. And so the Constitution Party selected me as their candidate over Alan Keyes. And I'm honored that they've chosen me. But I was a very strong supporter.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. And Chuck was just saying that actually he was a very, very strong component of a supporter of Congressman Ron Paul. He had traveled with him. He had campaigned for him in a number of states. And he had actually tried to convince Congressman Ron Paul that he should leave the Republican Party and put an independent bid in for the presidency, probably as the candidate for the Constitution Party. I'm certain he could have had that. But he chose not to do that. And then, of course, the Constitution Party chose Chuck Baldwin, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, to be their standard bearer, and of course he's going to be, up against tremendous odds, and of course he's going to get the conspiracy of silence from the controlled media because they want, certainly one of their candidates, it doesn't really matter whether it's Republican or Democrat, they control them both, they want one of their candidates to win, and of course Chuck is going to be out there, and of course he's saying that he's going to use the Internet, as Congressman Paul did, to reach people and try to circumvent the controlled media here in the United States. Well, we probably will have time for one or two questions. If you want to call in at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But Chuck, would you like to get your, first of all, your website out, and then where people can contribute if they want to contribute to you, because you're going to need money. This is going to be the greatest adventure of your life, I'm sure. And but if the people will, want to contribute, why, you tell them how to do that.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, very much. It's Baldwin 2008, and they can go right now and contribute online. We will accept their credit cards. And we got a money bomb going right now through Memorial Day, and we're trying to raise $100,000. We're looking for 1,000 people that will give $100 to our campaign to jumpstart the campaign and get us going. And you're right, the mainstream press is going to ignore us, at least as long as they can. And we're going to go ahead and build our campaign with grassroots support. We are already hearing from people all over the country that are coming on board. In fact, we've already had two retired Air Force Brigadier Generals that have endorsed our candidacy, Brigadier General Charles Jones and Brigadier General Ben Parton have said that they're going to support us and proudly to do so. We're getting people from all walks of life that are coming on board our campaign. Sooner or later, Dr. Stan, I really believe that the mainstream press will going to have to take note of this, just like they did Dr. Paul at some point. We don't expect that for a while, But over the next couple of months, I expect that the mainstream media will not be able to ignore us. But until then, we need the financial support of people in your audience all over the country to help us get this campaign off the ground. And again, it's Baldwin2008.com. Baldwin2008.com.
And if they go to that site, of course, they can see some of your material. They can see some of your YouTube presentations.
It's not all up yet. All the YouTube, you can Google it and get it up. The website is incomplete, but the one thing they can do on the website, Dr. Stan, is they can contribute. And as soon as we get the website up and functioning this weekend, then all the other stuff will be up there.
Will it be sort of like PayPal, or how will that work?
Credit cards right now, MasterCard, Visa, I guess, the typical credit cards.
All right, fine. So if anybody's interested, why, of course, that's Baldwin, what is it now?
Baldwin2008.com.
Baldwin2008.com. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Pastor Baldwin, because, of course, he's taken on a tremendous undertaking. He is coming up against the most wealthy and powerful people in the world who, for too long, have controlled both of our political parties and made mockery of the electoral process. How are you going to be sure that they don't rig the voting machines as they did in Ohio and so many other states last time?
Yeah.
How are you going to be sure we're going to get an honest election in November of this year?
That's a great question, and obviously I don't know the answer to that, except to say that providing we have the funds to do it, I would not hesitate to challenge any election that I feel has been skewed in some way or another.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you remember how John Kerry refused to challenge, of course,
George. Right.
But somebody gave him orders, and he had plenty of money to do it. It was only the Libertarians, and I think the Green Party, that actually challenged that, and of course, it was a totally corrupt election.
Right. I think Dennis Kucinich actually challenged a part of the election in the state of New Hampshire, wasn't it, during the Democratic primary?
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think there's been a hesitance on the part of a lot of the candidates to do it, and it does cost money. Let's face it. I mean, the election laws are set up to benefit the establishment, and it's very difficult for minor parties, third parties, to make inroads. That's why it's very important that the grassroots people support us. But if we have the money to work with, we will certainly do our job to challenge these things should we have the opportunity.
Now, how about getting on the ballot in some of the states? Because, of course, that's one of the biggest things is to get your name on the ballot in the states. How many states do we have? How many states do you think that you're going to be able to get?
I feel comfortable that we're going to have 43 states. We may have 45 or 46 states, which will certainly give us enough electoral votes to win the election.
All right, fine. Well, I want to thank you so very much for being with us, Chuck, and wish you well. And anyway, we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, and God bless.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
All right, bye-bye. And I hope you've enjoyed our interview with Chuck Baldwin. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and Chuck could only stay with us for half an hour because he's got so many calls to put in. He's got the first time I've seen anybody running on one of the off tickets who actually had a public relations person who really was on their side. Time and time again, I would never forget when Pat Buchanan was running for the presidency, and I've forgotten what party he was running on at the time, but the people who were handling his public relations were obviously on the other side, and they were not getting him onto talk radio, and they were doing everything they could to antagonize the people who'd like to have helped Pat Buchanan at that time. I've seen this with congressional candidates time and again, why the people who headed their public relations were put there for one specific reason, and that was to sabotage the candidacy of the candidate. Well, of course, in this instance, why Mary Starrett is, of course, handling Chuck Baldwin's public relations, and, of course, I've talked to Mary. She actually has her own, had in the past her own talk show program. She ran, I believe it was for governor in Oregon as an independent, which is an impossible situation. But she did make certainly a respectable showing there. And now, of course, she's abandoned her own political career, and she's going to be handling building public relations for Chuck Baldwin. And I will have to admit that I was very, very pleased with my dealings with her. She was going to schedule the program. She did schedule the program. She let me know ahead of time that it'd be for 30 minutes. And, of course, she was right on top of it to make sure that Chuck would get his opportunity to get his information out. And apparently, she is doing that all across the country with various talk show programs. And this is how, of course, we can circumvent the controlled media. The media in the United States is controlled. 90 to 95% is controlled by five mega corporations: AOL, Time Warner, Bertelsmann, which is a foreign company, certainly, General Electric, which controls NBC. Of course, there's Disney, and then there's Rupert Murdoch. And those five mega corporations controlled 90 to 95% of the major outlets in the United States. They bought up so many of the independent publishers. They bought up lots of the small radio stations and television stations. And what they really want to do is have total control over the media. But fortunately, we still have stations where we get the truth out. We are indeed blessed. I've been at this, as you know, many of you know, for, well, since 1962, which is what, going on 46, 47 years, somewhere in there. And I've never been as optimistic as I am today, because I think that we have a chance for the first time to circumvent the controlled media and reach the American people. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we're going to have open lines here for the next 25 minutes, so this is your time to get on. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. You can, of course, bring up any subject that you want. I thought maybe I would mention what I'm doing with my latest newsletter, and, of course, it's going to be covering something that Congressman Ron Paul wrote it back in July of 2003 when he talked about the philosophy of the neoconservative movement. Now, I don't know how many of you know much about the neoconservatives, but the neoconservative movement permeates Washington, D.C. today and controls the reins of power in the Bush administration. And, of course, it's made up of people who are philosophically Trotskyites. They really believe in an all-powerful central state. They call themselves conservatives. They're not conservatives at all, and they're certainly not neo. In fact, the whole idea of the neoconservative movement being new, this goes back to the ideas of Machiavelli and Plato. But we're going to have to wait until we actually get our newsletter out before you're going to hear the rest of it. But it is the most amazing story. Most people do not understand who Niccolo Machiavelli was, what he believed, who Plato was and what he believed, and how that ties into Michael Ledeen and the leadership of the neoconservative movement, which controls the reins of government in the United States today and is intent upon plunging our country into a war with a Muslim world. Well, right now we have Ray calling from Santa Cruz, and again our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Ray, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I wanted to mention, do you think that John McCain is the big media's choice? I think it appears to me that I think he's their choice. I really do. I think, but what I think also think is that the Republicans will lose many seats in the House and the Senate, and so if John McCain becomes president, which is, you know, probably a good possibility, he won't have as much power as he would have, you know, because I think that it'll work out so that he, you know, even though he occupies the presidency eventually, which are, I think it might happen. It looks like it's going to happen. I think they pick our, of course they, you know, I think they pick our presidents, but I find it very disturbing.
Well, I think the first thing you have to realize is whether the Democrat or the Republican candidate wins, their candidate is going to be the next president, not our candidate, because none of these people represent the views of the average American. The average American wants to get out of the war. The average American wants to cut back on big government. Whether the Democrats or Republicans, they want to live their life without government monitoring them. They don't like the idea of the government collecting dossiers on people and listening to their telephone conversations and really checking on their health records and their financial records. And, of course, this is all being done in the name of fighting terrorism, but the war on terrorism is as phony as a $3 bill, because if it was real, they would have sealed our borders on September 12th of 2001, and they didn't, and they've done everything they could to block sealing the borders ever since then. And if there's really a terrorist threat, why, of course, there would have been lots of terrorists coming in and lots of attacks on our country, and it is all phony. But they've created the perception, after all. I mean, when we go to the airport and we've got to stand in those long lines, we've got to take off our shoes and our coats and our sweaters and our belt buckles, and then we've got to go through the metal detector, and they've got to go through our bags, and we can't have any containers of toothpaste more than about 3 inches long. And we wouldn't be doing that unless it was a terrorist threat, would we? And the truth of the matter, of course we would. Because it all has to do with the attitude of the American people. They've got to believe we're involved in a war on terrorism, so the American people will be willing to give up their freedom, and that is exactly what's happening.
Well, it's the old concept of the big lie,
right,
too. You know, if you tell a lie long enough to the American people, of course, they start to tend to believe it. And I think that, unfortunately, I think this country, I think there's a large illiterate people that can't that don't have a college education or
I think some of the
that's a real problem.
Ray, I hate to tell you this, but I think a lot of people with a college education, the big problems are educated beyond their intelligence.
Yeah.
They've been indoctrinated in ideas that aren't true, and I know because I was one of them until I suddenly began to think on my own. It wasn't until I'd been out of college for a long time with a Phi Beta Kappa Key and all sorts of honors,
that
I really began to read and study and realize that most of what I'd learned about history and philosophy and college was a lie.
Well, it's a lot of clever distortion, too. But I find really annoying is people like Rush Limbaugh, who are making $30 million a year, which he does. He makes $30 million a year from his syndicated radio program. And the man is a total ignoramus.
How do they
get away with this stuff?
Well,
how can the American people believe what Rush Limbaugh says when he's an idiot?
Well, he's not really an idiot, Ray.
Well,
I mean, not like Rush, but I think that he's a brilliant guy. I think he's a great entertainer. I love to listen to him. And what he has done, and for this we should be eternally grateful, he's taken a lot of people from the radical left and moved them into the center, where they become, of course, Rush Limbaugh followers and Rush Limbaugh clones. Our job is to pick those people up who are no longer radical leftists and try to bring them not into the right wing, because these terms really have no meaning, but bring them into a realization of what's really going on in our country and the dark and sinister spirits of forces that are intent upon destroying the freedom that once made America the envy of the world.
I don't really quite agree with you about Rush.
Well, that's all right. You don't have to agree.
That's okay. We're allowed to disagree on that. But I would think that this took many years to bring about. And although I was very young in the 50s, there was also even this sort of thing was planned. You know, it had been planned for a long time. The deceptions the continual deception that we had, even under President Kennedy, under Johnson, under all the presidents, there was deception, and the FBI and the CIA were very much involved in that deception, I think. And I fear that we have an overabundance of intelligence agencies in this country.
Well, we have over 14 intelligence agencies. Of course, they're all supposedly coordinated today by the Office of Homeland Security, which, of course, is sort of a counterpart of the Gestapo. But we have to understand, of course, that the intelligence agencies, fortunately, work at odds. Sometimes one of the intelligence agencies, will be working on one thing, others will be working on the others. Just thank goodness they're not all coordinated. They would really be dangerous.
Then we'd be in real trouble.
Well, incidentally, our telephone number out there, if you're listening and would like to enter into the conversation, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But Ray is talking about the intelligence agencies. There are 14 of them. Some of the people have never heard of. A lot of people who don't listen to talk radio have never heard of the NSA, the National Security Agency, known really affectionately as no such agency. Yeah. And it's much larger than the CIA. It's the one that listens to all of your telephone calls and reads all of your emails and all of your faxes. It's been doing it for the better part of 40 years, and most people have never even heard of the NSA. And all this falderall about, oh my goodness, you know, the Bush administration is listening on in telephone calls without a warrant, that's simply to confuse the American people. That's part of Project Echelon. And Echelon, of course, they've got a corporation there by that same name to confuse the issue. But Project Echelon is a subdivision of NSA, and you can Google in Echelon, E-C-H-E-L-O-N, and then NSA, and you'll learn all about it. And they have been listening to our telephone calls. They do this all throughout the world. That's the most amazing thing.
And, of course, President Kennedy wanted to get rid of the CIA and...
It cost him his life in life.
It cost him his life, you know. Of course, he was involved with some other things that were... I don't know. I think history, you know, I don't know. I don't really want to demonize President Kennedy or even demonize Nixon for that matter, but I think history has a way of... changing our perception.
Well, history doesn't change our perception. What they do is they change our perception of history, and as a result, most people really don't understand what's going on. And that, whether it be, you know, who is Fidel Castro really? Who is Hugo Chavez really? Who is Ahmadinejad, Ahmadinejad, who is he really? I mean, why is he making all these absurd statements? Or is he simply an actor in this stage? And is this whole thing that's going on today simply a means of justifying drawing America into a war with the Muslim world, which is my fear. First of all, we're going to attack Syria and Iran under one pretext or another. And then, God help us, the whole of the Middle East goes up in flames. All the existing governments are toppled by angry jihadists and Islamists. And then, of course, they get their hands on the nuclear weapons that are in Pakistan. We've got to again go to war with Pakistan, and we'll have to go to war with Libya and Saudi Arabia and all the Arab countries over there. And of course, you think gasoline is high now, just wait till that happens. And even though there is no shortage of oil, it would take us probably 5 to 10 years to begin to produce the amount of oil that we really need, even if we were to start doing it right today and building the pipelines and all of those things. And, of course, our leaders have no intention of solving the problem. They want the problem because that's going to allow them to control us even better. In fact, you know, what's really amazing, Ray, is that more and more Americans are really beginning to feel the financial pinch. The price of electricity is going up. The price of natural gas is going up. The price of oil used for heating in the eastern part of the United States, and you and I live here in Santa Cruz, and we don't have the problem, but so many people living in other parts of the United States, I mean, they can't afford both the oil for heat in the winter and then the electricity for air conditioning in the summer. And more people are having more and more problems, and it's only going to get worse as the price of oil and the price of natural gas and the price of electricity goes up and the value of the dollar goes down, and people, of course, begin having to lower their living standards.
We'll continue to do what Israel tells us to do, though.
Do you really believe, honestly, Ray, that Israel is directing what's going on in Washington, D.C.? Because that's what some people would like us to believe. But if Israel is really running America's foreign policy, then why did those wicked Zionists who control Washington, D.C. force Israel to give up Gaza? Can you explain that to me?
That's the Zionists. I'm talking about Zionists. I'm talking about the fanatics that there aren't really true Jews.
All right.
They're quite
I think they're really they're basically very much anti-Semitic, and they belong to, whether they belong to the Sabbatean sect, which is a sect of Judaism which most Americans have never heard of, but the Sabbateans were a secret Jewish religious organization which was really hated Jewry, and of course they tied into labor Zionism, and they were instrumental in bringing about Israel, and I personally believe that they wanted Israel so they accumulate most of the Jews there. And then, of course, they could all be slaughtered. And by killing off the Jews in Israel, they hope that they can thwart God's plan for the latter days.
Did they have anything to do, though, with the Soviet Union, this fanatical sect of so-called Zionists?
I think it probably did.
They have much to do with, Stalin and Lenin. And so, I see it sort of a connection, because the Jews were persecuted in Russia. Certain Jews, were emigrated to the United States, I guess, from Russia.
Well, I think you have to understand the background of the persecution of the Jews in Russia, Ray. I mean, the reason that there was so much persecution of the pogroms in Russia was because of something called the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, which suddenly appeared on the scene in Russia in 1905.
Mm,
and
yes.
Of course, this professes that there is a worldwide conspiracy headed by a group of Jews to take over the world, and that they are suddenly behind the world socialist movement. They're, of course, going to create a moral degeneracy in the United States and eventually take care of the control of the money of the world. And of course, once of course the Tsar saw this, he really believed it. He was told it was true by his secret police, and then he allowed the pogroms and the persecution of Jews, which of course led to many of the Jews throughout the world feeling that they had to get rid of the Russian Tsar.
Mm.
But nobody has ever asked who really wrote the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion.
Mm.
And of course, you can read a book. It's called
Hitler was obsessed with that too.
Hitler was obsessed with it too, and it's the basis of all sorts of mischief, because when you read it, it is truly evil. And it really convinced you that the Jews are behind all the problems we're facing today.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, there's a book called Warrant for Genocide, written by Professor Norman Cohn. And there's books on the occult conspiracy and the occult hierarchy, which, of course, were written by a scholar from, I think his name was Webb from Cambridge. And they point out that the protocols were really written by the occultists, by the disciples of Madame Helena Petrovna Blavatsky.
Yeah.
And the whole idea was to throw attention or draw attention away from what they were doing and put it onto the Jews, because, of course, they all hated Jews.
Mm.
And they really believed, of course, they could create all sorts of mischief for them. And so they, basically, if you read the protocols, it's exactly what's happened. But the question is it the Zionist plan, or is it the plan, of course, of the occultists and the people associated with Rosicrucianism and and Theosophy and the Lucius Trust and the New Age movement? And I really believe that's where it comes from. And that's the reason, of course, we're in the trouble we are today.
Yeah. Well, occultism is it's growing, and that's very, very disturbing.
And so is anti-Semitism.
Yeah, and anti-Semitism, too.
And I believe, of course, these are all things that we can anticipate in the latter days. I believe that the anti-Semitism is going to grow. I believe that the persecution of Christians is going to increase.
Oh, it is.
And I think that we're going to see dramatic and terrible things happening in our country in the not-too-distant future as we move from an orderly society into a period of social unrest and then chaos and crisis. And we know that the administration is planning on that, because that's why they're building the concentration camps.
Yeah.
And anybody who doubts, of course, that $385 million was actually appropriated and given to Kellogg, Brown, and Root to build concentration camps in the United States, give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a copy of the newspaper article, or you can go up on the Internet and pull it down. Certainly it's included in my syllabus on the planned police state. But if you want to get the documentation, you can't find it. Google in, of course, KBR, $385 million concentration camps, or give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. We'll document it. And if they're really doing that, everyone should be concerned. Hey, Ray, thanks very much for calling. God bless.
Thank you,
we'll talk to you later. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Jack on the line. Hi, Jack. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Well, thank you. In listening to the dialogue there, I was reflecting on what William H. Kennedy had said regarding the Vatican, and of course Malachi Martin speaking to the occultic penetration of the Vatican, and of course William Kennedy said that the Vatican had something like one-third of the world's gold reserves. And then, of course, Barry Shamish mentioned the unholy alliance between Olmert and other Israeli dignitaries and the Pope, and how the Pope in the Vatican has designs for the Dome of the Rock to be the epicenter for the Roman Catholic they're going to move the Vatican to the Dome of the Rock at some point in the future?
Well, of course, there are lots of speculations, but certainly there has been a cult influence of the Vatican. There's a cult influence within the Jesuits, but there's a cult influence in the highest echelon of the Protestant Church, where we found the man who headed, of course, the National Association of Evangelical Christians, 30 million American strong, was a man named Ted Haggard, of course, who was a coke-using homosexual who was using his position to undermine and destroy Christianity, and, of course, doing everything he could, but working behind the scenes. Then he never would have been there without a lot of friends, other friends, of course, in the hierarchy of organized Protestantism. And we find the same thing within the Jewish faith. So understand that you can focus simply on one. Yeah, oh, it's the Vatican, or it's all the Jesuits, or all the Protestants, or all the Masons, which is supposedly a Protestant organization. But it is not. It's a satanic organization, and all of these are satanic forces. And, of course, when you try to connect all the dots, it gets pretty confusing out there. But there is one thing for certain, and that is that we're moving towards a world government. We're moving towards a world ruler, and one way or another, he is eventually going to have a dominant place in Jerusalem, because that is what the prophecies tell us.
That's the abomination of desolation, isn't it?
Right. Oh, I think the abomination of desolation may very well have to do with the false prophet, but we're just going to have to wait and see, and as the story unfolds, it's going to be exciting, and we'll be watching it together, and what a wonderful opportunity we have to have a voice and get that information out. Anyway, God bless you, Jack, and thanks very much for calling. Bye-bye, and we'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Chuck Baldwin. Certainly, Chuck Baldwin is a Christian patriot who's really risking his life to run for the presidency, because, of course, remember what's happened to other people who either ran for the presidency or acquired the presidency against the wishes of the invisible government. Remember, of course, that Henry Wallace, who ran for the presidency and probably might very well have had a significant influence, who said there's not a dime's worth of difference between the Republicans and the Democrats, and the assassin was sent to kill him. Why he didn't kill him, he just shot him in the spine and paralyzed him for life. And then, of course, Jack Kennedy, who, of course, was not part of the inner circle of the establishment, and they gave him a trip to Dallas. And, of course, his brother was assassinated in a similar manner, as was Martin Luther King. And, of course, you want to get in the background of the assassination of Martin Luther King, why, of course, we carry the book, an act of state, and a four-tape set on the execution of Martin Luther King, where you'll actually hear the people of one man who sat in the trial that was brought about by the King, Martin Luther King's family, to demonstrate that the United States government was responsible for the murder of Martin Luther King. And the other interview is, of course, with William Pepper, who is the lawyer for the King family and also the lawyer for James Earl Ray. Fascinating material you won't get elsewhere. Our four-tape or four-CD set, The Execution of Martin Luther King. And we also have two four-tape sets on the assassination of John Kennedy. We have two books. One of them is A Sniper Looks at Dealey Plaza. The other is The Elite Serial Killers by Galen Ross. And then we have a DVD on the murder of John Kennedy. You need to have this information. You need to help us get the truth out. They really do kill people. In fact, many of you may have heard me tell about, back, of course, when the Ross Perot ran for the presidency for the first time in 1988. A wife, where she dropped out of the campaign because he said that his family had been threatened. Well, actually, it wasn't his family. They were going to kill both his family and him. And I talked to the man who was hired for the assassin. His name was Chip Tatum, and we did a number of interviews with Chip. And then he disappeared. And according to Ted Gundersen, his body washed up on a beach somewhere in the Caribbean recently. And that's what happens, of course, to CIA assassins who do not carry out their assignment. We're living in a frightening world. But, of course, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you rely upon him for your protection, and that's all that's really going to get us by in the very difficult times that lie ahead. So we do hope many of you, of course, will want to get the material we mentioned, the book, An Active State, and the 4-tape set that goes with that, The Execution of Martin Luther King. We hope that you'll want to get, of course, one or both of our 4-tape sets on John Kennedy. They're both fascinating, entirely different. And then the books we offer, A Sniper Looks at Dealey Plaza and The Elite Serial Killers. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want, of course, to get my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness. We hope that you'll want to get my material on the planned police state. Now, both the DVD on the Brotherhood of Darkness and the planned police state, and, of course, the talk on the forbidden secret. The first one comes with a book. The latter two come with syllabuses. You need to get the syllabus if you possibly can, because it will give you the documentation so you can have it on hand so you can show it to others. We talked to a lady today from North Carolina who told me that what they do, she and her husband do, is copy our newsletters and make thousands of copies, and they take them out to flea markets, any place they can, and hand them out. You could hand them out at a major grocery store, at Home Depot, at Lowe's. You can go out in front of there and hand out the material and get it in people's hands, a Costco, a Price Club, Sam's, whatever it would be. Help us get the information out, as this couple in North Carolina are doing. It's up to you to get the truth out. I can only talk to so many people, and I can't do more than 5 hours a day of talk radio. But our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Because we are under attack today. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Lou Epton. And Lou, ever since I can remember, Lou's been doing talk radio. I don't even know how he happened to get into it, but I met him many years ago at a conference and at a dinner that was put on in Southern California. And basically, of course, Lou has been, I believe, in Las Vegas there, trying to educate people about what's going on, just as we're doing here on our little network we put together. And Lou's had me on his program a number of times, and I asked him to come on to our program tonight. We'll sort of talk, and if you want to you have a question you want to ask Lou, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Lou. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I want to thank you very kindly for having me on your program again, Doc Monteith. You're one of my favorite people. And I don't know whether it's because we agree on so many things or your Brotherhood of Darkness book, but I don't know many people that have worked as hard or as long as you have to try and bring truth to the public. Now, truth, I understand, is relative, and as long as we've known each other, you know me as a fairly conservative individual. And right now, I'm just rather... I guess upset would be as kind of a word as I can think to use, because we got three losers, as far as I am concerned, seeking the highest office in the land, and I really fear for the country. I don't know how long it'll last, but however long, in my opinion, it would be too long. It looks like this Obama is going to be a Democratic candidate. It looks like McCain is going to be the Republican candidate, and quite frankly, between you and me, I don't see a whole lot of difference.
Well, I don't really either. I really feel that we're in real trouble as a nation. But who knows? Maybe this is the way that it's supposed to be. Lou, how long did you do? Have you been doing talk radio? When did you get started?
Well, I went on the air here in Las Vegas back in 1961.
In 1961?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Forgive me, 1991.
1991. Well, that's still a good long while.
About 16 years.
All right, fine. And just, Lou was sort of self-financed, of course, used had supporters and had advertisers. But believe me, talk radio is a difficult game. You have to, it's hard to raise the funds, to buy the time to be on the radio stations, to get the news out. And if you're not there, because you're not on the radio, you can't get the advertisers. And if you don't have the advertisers, you can't stay on the radio. So anyway, of course, it's great to have Lou with us this evening. But it's a constant struggle for all of us, of course, doing what we're doing, to be able to stay on and to actually, of course, if possible, to grow
our... And in that regard, let me mention to all of those who are regular listeners of yours, and I know there are many, please support Dr. Stan and his advertisers in every which way you can. I know the economy right now is tight, but it is so vitally important, because as a nation, I still believe so firmly that we're basically a good Christian country, and we're being brainwashed by the media, dumbed down by our educational system, and people today, it's all, what will you do for me? And, of course, you know, a lot of people will agree the economy's in a sad state, because it's just getting a very... A lot of people have a great deal of money. There's no question of that. But there's an awful lot of people right now who are just going from paycheck to paycheck, and then there are those that don't even have paychecks.
Amen to that. And of course, what really bothers me is the people are just head over heels in credit card debt. In fact, they're paying 25 or 30% interest rate on their unpaid balance. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Lou Epton. And Lou, I do appreciate your kind words of encouraging people to support us, because, of course, we, you know, I always hate to ask people for money. But, of course, sometimes you have to, and it's fascinating. There really are people who do believe in what you and I do, are willing to make sacrifices to help us. So I feel blessed that we're at least able to keep our nose above the water for the time being. Well, certainly you mentioned, of course, the financial situation that we find ourselves in as a nation. Tell me now, Chris, we've heard that some horror stories out of Las Vegas about the foreclosures there, and of course the falling and the price of homes there. What's the true story?
True story is we're probably one of the more foreclosures in Las Vegas in Clark County, Nevada. I think we ranked as number one for the nation for quite a period of time, and if we're not still there, we're not far from it. A lot of people got involved. They went in over their head when loans were easy to get, and now they find themselves not capable of making those mortgage payments. And, of course, if you're stuck with an ARM where the rates are going up, it's not a pretty picture. It just is not a pretty picture. And it bothers me, but it's just me, that the government now is going to come along and try and find a way to help fund these past mortgages. I don't know. I mean, the government is not our parent, okay? He's an uncle, not a father. And the ability, individual ability, to do things, to achieve things, to create this nation has created more technology and more good things for the whole world than you can shake a stick at. And I think if we were given the opportunity, if we weren't so bogged down with bureaucratic red tape, we could create even more. But again, that's me, and just going to have to live through the period and try and get it back on track.
Well, I think the interesting thing is how this whole thing came about. And, of course, really it was all a byproduct of the policies of the Federal Reserve System, which certainly during the early part of our the 2000s, from 2003 to 2004, lowered the interest rate to 1% and made money readily available. And, of course, when money's readily available and the interest rates are low, people are going to buy a lot of things that they can't afford, thinking that good times are always going to roll. This has happened dozens of times in the history of our nation, and probably hundreds of times in the history of civilization. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan and our friend Lou Epton, who for many years has been a sort of the conservative voice there in Las Vegas. I was asking him about what's going on in Las Vegas as far as the housing situation is concerned, and he says that Las Vegas has been number one. Well, maybe it still isn't number one, but probably in foreclosures and people losing their homes. And so many people, of course, when the times were good, went out and invested in a home that they couldn't afford. But after all, the price of the home was going to go up. All the homes were going up. People were making fortunes in homes, and you'd buy a home, maybe it wasn't even completed. And before it was completed, you could turn around and sell it for $50,000 or $100,000 more than you paid for it. And boy, that was just the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And an awful lot of people thought that the good times were going to go on forever. They didn't understand the history of economics, and this has happened time and time again down to the history of our nation, as the banking system has created booms and busts, and the booms are great and the busts are terrible. And when the booms are great, people are just buying things they can't afford, and when the bust comes, why, of course, they lose their homes, they lose their businesses, they lose everything, they lose their jobs, and people are destitute. And certainly the people who were smart got out of their homes, got out of the businesses, sold out at the top of the market, and most people, of course, were trapped as the
market. Of course, a lot of people came over here and bought homes as investments.
Right.
And a lot of those people are now regretting the fact that they did. So there's more homes now for rent. Homes have depreciated, 20, 30, maybe 40% in value. And there's talk now that maybe it's bottomed out, but, you know, it's easy to make comments, and only time will tell.
Well, I certainly would not be buying a home over there in Las Vegas at the present time. Our telephone number, if you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And of course, Lou certainly is talking about the housing situation there in Las Vegas. And certainly Las Vegas is probably at the top of the list. Certainly, probably Phoenix, Miami, a few other places. But Las Vegas, there was just so much development over there. And they put in these beautiful big condominium complexes over there. And you know, looking down on the strip, exciting place to be. but an awful lot of people have put an awful lot of money in those condominiums, and they've probably already lost 30-35% of their value and still falling. So anyway, there are difficult times ahead. I know in Denver, where I've been on several occasions, and I mean, as far as you can see, sometimes there'll be these housing developments, literally all of them empty. And
that's right. That's absolutely right. And another thing, I would have never believed that we'd ever be paying what we're paying for a gallon of gas or a gallon of milk or even a gallon of water.
Yeah, and that's really
stop and think about it. For good health, you don't want to drink water out of your faucet, certainly not if you're living in this area. So you buy bottled water. And you just go, wait a moment, what's going on? Maybe it's my own age. I don't know, Doc. But my memory reminds me of what things used to be price-wise. Not that I anticipate they would ever stand still. But when you're paying about $5 a gallon of gas, and how much for a gallon of milk?
This is pretty comparable. My wife can probably tell you better than I, but I don't like to go into the grocery stores because I get culture shock when I go in and I see the prices of all of these things. I remember what things used to be, and of course the price of our foodstuffs is going up somewhere 40 or 50% a year, despite what the government tells us. They simply, well, that old adage, figures don't lie, but liars can figure. They're lying to us about inflation. Inflation is rampant in America, running about 12.5%. But they can't let the American people know, and if they keep telling us it's only 2 or 4%, why most people believe them, and then they can't understand why everything is so expensive.
You're absolutely right about that. They've been lying to us for years when they start talking about inflation. And they're so far off the mark that if they ever really got on the mark, I wonder what your Social Security payments would be like if you're collecting Social Security.
Well, if I was getting Social Security, it was really pegged to to the inflation rate, I'd be getting $2,500 a month, and I think I'm getting $1,200-$1,400, something like that. And I want everybody out there in the audience who is paying into Social Security to know how much I appreciate the fact that you're helping. Of course, a lot of the funds actually goes into our radio program. But certainly I take it because I feel that I can put it better use than the government can.
And, absolutely, right. And a lot more intelligently, because the government figures, hey, it's somebody else's, so let's just keep on spending it. And boy, they know how to spend it.
Now, well, of course, what they do, and of course, I think this is the greatest scam of all time. They cut taxes, they increase spending, and then, of course, they increase the debt, and they simply borrow the money from future generations. In fact, we owe so much money to future generations, the only way to pay it off will be to destroy the value of the dollar and pay it back in worthless currency, and, of course, that'll wipe out the value of bonds and annuities and pensions and all those other things, and that's exactly what they intend to do, but they can't tell the average individual, who would be furious. This has happened in other countries. I was just reading that doubt in Argentina. Why, of course, the people there have gone through these inflationary cycles in the past. It was during about 2001 or 2002 when the government had the dollar, the peso pegged to the dollar, and told the people that the peso was absolutely sound. They had nothing to worry about. And then the next day, of course, they woke up. They closed the banks and they devalued the value of a peso 75%. And people lost 75% of their life holdings simply overnight. And now,
overnight,
of course, the same thing's beginning to happen again. And the people down there are panicking. And what are they doing? They're trying to buy dollars, thinking that, it's sound as a dollar, without realizing we have an inflation rate of 20%, pardon me, of 12%, which is probably quite comparable to their rate of inflation in Argentina today.
Well, I apologize if I've been sounding negative or if we have, because it's still a good life. It's just, if you care about your country, after everything it's gone through and all the people that have served to protect it and maintain our liberties, what we had, and you look at what we're doing today and you wonder, how can we allow this to continue? People think if they're free to go to work and they're free to have a beer or two on the weekend or whenever, then that's freedom. Again, maybe it's a matter of age, but I'll tell you, when I was a younger person, if you wanted to go into business, you didn't have to jump through 101 hoops. If you wanted so many things, it was just so easy to do. And now, they make, no matter what you do, the government's going to be involved one way or the other and keep a control of every move you make. They know how much money you have. They know how you live. They know where you spend. They know what you buy. It's not the same place.
Well, of course, we've lost so much of our freedom, Lou, since the September 11th attack in 2001. And, of course, using that as a justification, now the government wants to know what we do with our money. What books we read, what our health care is. They want to listen to our telephone calls and read our emails and read our faxes because we might be terrorists. In fact, anybody out there in the listening audience, everybody is being monitored. They are collecting dossiers on everybody. Heavens, if you do something and your name is in the newspaper, they're going to have that. In fact, I even got my FBI file one time, and I found out that every time I'd given a talk in Montana or Oregon, they had the clippings from the local newspaper. They were watching everything I had done. This was, of course, back in 64 and 65 and 66, a long time ago. They had those records. They can't find their current email records in the White House, but boy, they sure had all those records on me, and page after page after page of my FBI report was blocked out in the name of national security. So I don't know what nation they were trying to protect, but I'll tell you what, it's amazing to not realize, of course, and anybody out there can get the FBI file. You just have to write and request it under the Freedom of Information Act. But even back in the mid-1960s, they were monitoring the American people.
Yeah. No, this has been underway for some time. You know, I never claimed to be all that intelligent on any topic. I probably learned more doing my radio program from having people such as yourself on as my guests. And the things I've learned, you just can't ignore and forget. We've done programs regarding the Internal Revenue Service. We've done programs regarding the Federal Reserve. And I mean people with great knowledge and foresight, people that have done a great deal of research in all of these various areas. And when you stop and you put all these pieces of the puzzle together, it's very frightening. Years ago, I had a friend who showed me how every one of us has what they call a master file. I don't know if it's the same as the FBI. These files are kept offshore in some territory such as Puerto Rico. And they're dummied up. For an example, there's only so many legal ways that a person can be taxed by the federal government. And they give you different titles where your income comes from. Now, in my entire life, I've never been one to take even medication because I've been a very blessed person health-wise most all the time. And they had me listed, and I got a copy of what they call a master file, and they had me listed as an importer of drugs. It could be aspirin, but an importer of some kind of a drug. And this is how they justified coming after me for federal income taxes.
We're going to be back in just a moment with Lou Epton. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have something you'd like to talk about to Lou, have a question or comment, give us a call. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, Lou, go right ahead. You were saying they actually had you classified as a drug importer?
Yes, a legitimate pharmaceutical importer.
Well, of course, had you been importing anything?
I never imported anything, please.
All right, fine. So basically, of course, somebody just contrived this whole thing then, huh?
Well, they've got to put you under a classification where they can legitimately chase you for money.
I see.
And this is not uncommon.
Well, I think it's certainly the Internal Revenue Service is it's an unfortunate situation, but they want to raise money whether you owe it or not, and sometimes they'll make your life miserable. Other times,
as far as I'm concerned, the IRS is a legitimate extortion racket. Pure and simple. I don't know how to better describe it. That's exactly the way I feel about it. But I won't tell anyone to not pay because the grief they will cause you, you know, you got to weigh in the balance and decide how strong do you think you are and what are your odds of winning. Certainly you're not going to win in a court of what they call from the Department of Justice. They've got to support the government. They're paid by the government.
And I agree with you, Tony. In fact, we pay our taxes, and we have an accountant prepare them, and we turn them in, of course, and my wife is meticulous about the expenses. In fact, we don't even take a lot of the deductions we're entitled to, just so we do not give them a red flag to come after us, because actually sometimes the Internal Revenue Service is used for political purposes here in the United States. We know that they went after Joseph Farah of WorldNet Daily, certainly because of some of the things he'd written. There was no justification for an audit. In fact, the man who was going, the IRS representative, told him that basically this was a political audit. Well, of course, that's against the law, but then who are you going to complain to?
That's the whole point. Who in the world are you going to complain to? There's one other thing, and I've got to make mention of this, and I apologize because I'm trying to remember the website, but and as weird as I may sound, I'm going to tell you something, Dr. Stan. A man in, I think it's Tampa Bay, Florida, all right, is capable of running an automobile on water. On one pint, he can go 100 miles.
Well, I've heard these stories over and over again.
No, this is real. I've seen the video of it. As strange as this sounds, it's a hydrogen, which is part, you know, water, and he can separate the hydrogen from the water electronically, and it works. And he's doing it. He's now in negotiations, believe it or not, with the government on devising a Hummer that'll run on both water and gasoline. And he's got a patent on it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I would not want to be his life insurance agent because I would be very, very fearful something would come to him. It seems a little absurd to suggest that somebody would be killed because they had a good idea.
I know. That's not too far-fetched. It's happened before. And, again, you don't want to upset the powers of the oil industry.
I mean, I've heard these stories. I just hope and pray that they are accurate. And certainly, you know, if there was some means of getting the hydrogen out of water, why, of course, you could then combine it with oxygen, create heat, and, of course, have a very, very efficient car. And that's what there are cars that actually run on hydrogen today.
That's right.
Last thing, of course, that the oil establishment want, the cartel, would be competition. We'll be right back with Lou Epton here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Lou Epton. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. While we were off the air, Lou was simply telling me that there actually is a gentleman somewhere in Florida who has devised a means of running a car on water. And Lou claims he's seen the video on it. He believes it works. And
the website, you know, it's not Freedom Now. It's Freedom... Forgive me, I'm not by my computer. You look at... they've got a number of areas, and I went to Free Energy. Somebody turned me on to this. And I'm looking at a video of this man, and he's running a vehicle on water, and he's now in negotiations with our government to create a Hummer that will run both water and gasoline. And it's more than that. It does more than... He stumbled upon it by accident. But it's real, and we could use it, I'll tell you.
Well, I will tell you that the oil companies will do everything in their power to block anything of that sort from ever being developed.
I know they already have years ago, and it's not just a cute story. Somebody had developed a carburetor that gave exceptional mileage on regular gasoline, and they bought it up and buried it, which is not uncommon. But this, with the prices the way they are, he can only hope that maybe, just maybe, because he was invited, he demonstrated this for Congress, our Congress in Washington, and he got their interest. And I'll tell you, I will look it up tomorrow, and I will call you and give you the website that you can see it for yourself.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, Lou, and certainly, I would just hope and pray that this could be something that would face the energy crisis, because, you know, what's happening is the price of oil so high. Of course, heating oil becomes extremely expensive. A lot of people depend upon heating oil to keep their homes warm in the winter, and then, of course, the price of electricity is going up. And then, of course, with the price of gasoline and food, and certainly wages are not going up in a commensurate way, an awful lot of people all across America are really beginning to hurt. I was amazed to see an article on the front page of the New York Times here within the last couple of weeks saying exactly what I'm saying, and the number of people who are having to face the proposition: are they going to be able to be warm in the winter, or are they going to be cool in the summer? But they do not have the funds for both, because the price of oil has skyrocketed, the price of electricity has gone up dramatically, and of course these people are really in the pinch today. And I think we're going to see more and more of that as the planned program to lower our living standards is brought about once again.
And you're right. Your wages are not going up. It's just everything. I was talking to a representative of our local power company, Nevada Power, and they don't, even as an employee, they don't get a break. I mean, their wages have not gone up, but their utility bills sure as the world have. It's just not easy. So, I don't know how long this will go on or how far it will go. I've interviewed people who are knowledgeable about the oil industry. You find out that you've got a world of oil up in Montana. We have oil right here in Nevada that nobody's pumping. Oil seems to be more plentiful as a liquid on this planet, almost as much as water. But we have all these political movements where you don't want to upset the speckled owl or the tsetse fly, and you dare not even attempt to drill, even with modern technology where you wouldn't upset anybody. I mean, your situation in Alaska is a great example. They could be drilling up there in that area without affecting any of the creatures that live there, but they're not allowed to.
Because I think probably what the listeners out there really need to know is that, of course, although the oil companies will profess they really want to find more oil, they have actually, you go back to the origin of the environmental movement, it was funded by many of our great oil companies. Why? Why? Because, of course, then they could have the environmental, their agents, environmental agents, petitioning government and harassing companies that wanted to be competitors. The whole thing was to use the power of government to stop competition. Now, I believe in free enterprise,
yep.
But this is not free enterprise. This is cartel. This is the use of the power of government to restrict competition. And, of course, that's what they're doing. And I simply ask people, do you think that the oil companies make more money when there's shortages or when there's abundance? And all we need to do is see what's happened last year and this year to the profits of the oil companies. And I'll tell you, when there are apparent shortages, why, of course, their profits go up and our income goes down. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Lou Epton, and Lou, you go right ahead.
Well, it's just so many things. Sometimes you're not sure which direction you want to go, because we can talk about the oil situation all by itself for literally hours. We can talk about the prices and the inflation of the monetary system, again, for hours. Obviously, some people are making money, But obviously a lot more people are having a very difficult time. The main thing is, as a nation, and I love this country, as I know you do, we have a constitution. What would be so wrong about following our own constitution? Why do we have to keep interpreting, misinterpreting, reinterpreting? Why do we allow these judges to start making law instead of following law? I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I have a good friend, and I think I've mentioned him to you, and I think you might even be aware of him. His name is David Hinkson, who was set up, literally, by the government because he was fighting them on the tax situation, and he built a very substantial business. I watched him from day one. They took him to court. Their chief prosecution witness is a known felon, and now they've proven the man is a known felon. He's been a habitual liar. He has falsified his documents, his military records. He made claims that were outrageous, all of which have been disproven. And in the meantime, they put Dave in solitary confinement in the prison over in Colorado. So they're, after spending how many untold dollars, and I mean it goes into the millions, they're waiting for the Ninth Circuit to see the new evidence. He should have never been locked up. They have him listed as a dangerous,
A felon or
terrorist?
A dangerous terrorist.
And they've got him in the worst prison they could find, and I'm just grateful that he's been able to hold up. I've talked to his parents, and they're now waiting for a decision from the Ninth Supreme Court in California, which I don't have a great deal of confidence in to begin with, but this evidence is so solid that I don't see how they can refuse it. But in the meantime, he's been locked up now for, 4 to 5 years?
Well, I think, it's a tragedy the way that they're treating the people of America today. We are moving from freedom towards a police state. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Lou Epton. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Most people believe, of course, we're free here in the United States, that Lou was telling about a friend of his who was actually convicted on trumped-up charges using a known felon, known for lying, as the witness against this gentleman who the government had targeted. And, of course, they put him away in solitary confinement. He's been there for 4 or 5 years, trying to destroy him. And he was totally innocent of the crime he was committed of. Now, basically, what we really need to let the American people know is that today in the United States we have 2.3 million Americans in prison. 2.3 million Americans in prison in wicked China, where they have a communist brutal regime over there. They've got almost 1.25 billion people, and they've got 1.6 million people in prison. So we have certainly far more. We have got 4 or 5 times more people in prison in the United States, proportion to our population, than, of course, the wicked communist in China. Furthermore, if you look at the adult population, 1 in every 100 Americans is in prison today. 1 of American adults is in prison today. 1 out of every 32 adults is in prison, population, or parole. And, of course, the black population of young black men between 21 and 31, 1 in every 3 is in prison, population, parole. There's something really seriously wrong in America. We're moving rapidly towards a police state. Many of these people are innocent and are put in there for political purposes. And where is the outcry from the American people about the people who've been put in prison? Because the prosecutors actually lied and deceived and of course, prosecutorial malpractice, and nothing is ever done to the prosecutors who withhold evidence that would prove the person innocent. And I think until prosecutors are sent to prison for the same length of time they send innocent people, nothing is going to change.
Oh, man. Boy, and how... It's just, we talk, or they made movies, and people refer to the mob, the mafia, the gangs, the people that literally built Las Vegas. And I'm not saying they were good people, don't get me wrong, but I honestly believe a lot more of them had morals, which is something I don't think the people in government even know how to spell. I think they got rid of the mafia because it was like competition. And now the government controls everything. And as you said earlier, who do you go to complain? Literally.
And of course, we have actually instances. There's this case of Whitey Bulger, who was actually, I believe, in Boston. And Whitey Bulger, of course, was supposedly an undercover agent for the FBI, but he was also a murderer.
Yeah.
For the 20 years, of course, he was monitored by the FBI and was supposedly giving them information on the activities of the mob. He was killing people. He tortured and killed over 20 people while he was under FBI support. And the FBI would tell him when the local authorities were going to close in on him. And, of course, that's how he got away. He's one of the 10 most wanted men in the world today. And he got away because the FBI warned him as the local authorities were closing in on him for murder. And the FBI sent innocent people to prison to cover for some of the murders that were done by Walter Bulger. Where is the outcry against the FBI? There is none. Where is the outcry against the CIA, which has worked in concert with the mafia? And if anybody doubts that, you need to get the book entitled A Double Cross, written by Chuck Giancano, who's the brother of Sam Giancano, who headed the mafia at the time when Jack Kennedy was killed. Fascinating book, Double Cross, out by Chuck Giancana. You can get it on Amazon. You need to have this information. You need, of course, to help us get it out across America. Well, you know, I believe we're heading towards a police state here, Lou. I believe everything is in place. I believe they're looking for a justification, some sort of an incident, whether it be some sort of an infection, an epidemic, whether it be civil unrest, whether it be an invasion, whether it be a nuclear, biological, or chemical attack. Anything that would, of course, disrupt the orderly society, I think that they would use today as a justification for sending a military dictatorship. The only good thing I've seen is that Senator Patrick Leahy, I believe, is Vermont. He's one of the most liberal of the senators, but apparently they've done something to try to restore the Posse Comitatus Act. We haven't heard too much about it, but it was not from the New American that commented that the Senate did pass some legislation to restrict the President's ability to use American troops against American citizens. Of course, I don't think George Bush believes in the Constitution. I think he'll do what he wants to. And if the Congress gets in line, I really believe they'd have them arrested as well. Because President Bush feels that he is an elected president, and in that position of power, like Machiavelli is prince, he can do whatever he wants to. Are you concerned at all about this move towards a police state, Lou?
I think we're all but there right now. Literally, I don't want to sound any more weird than I probably already do, but I think we're so close to it right now that there wouldn't be much change, and we'd be under a full-blown situation. Because under the definition of terrorist, if you even speak badly about somebody, if you're not a racist, you're a terrorist, you're an anti-American. There's all kind of names that the media knows how to use, and they can paint the picture that they want to describe and make you look like a total fool or danger. I think we're very close to it right now, if we're not already there.
All right, if you're out there and you're listening.
More forms of government police, more forms of government agencies, more forms of control than most people are even aware.
My telephone number
money is marked. If you're carrying a large sum of money, they can read it right now. Lord knows, to go getting on an airplane certainly has changed. They can read almost any and everything you're carrying, and all supposedly for the protection of the country. And I think they're just carrying it to an extreme that is as close to ludicrous as they can get. There's not a lot they can't tell about an individual. As you mentioned earlier, they legally can tap into anybody's phone. right now, there's all forms of things that they have the ability to pursue. And they've got more forms of laws and regulations than you can believe. You get out of bed, you're breaking a law one way or the other, just about. So, yes, I certainly agree that we're, if not there, we're as close to it as you can imagine.
Well, our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. And you know, one of the interesting things is some of the television, and I watch the television because I want to know what the enemy is doing. And certainly if you watch the Law and Order programs, you'll find out that when, of course, they're going to go serve a warrant. What they do is that they're there, you know, instead of knocking on the door and saying, I'm from the local police, we have a warrant. No, they've got a great big automatic thing that just knocks down the door. They rush in their uniforms with their helmets and their guns, and they start screaming at people, get down to the floor, get down to the floor, and... you know, they don't say, I'm here with a warrant. It's all a matter of intimidation. And you have
very
to...
effective.
It really is, because you frighten you to death. You're totally frightened to death. You don't know if they're the FBI, who they're from, but they got a gun pounding in your face, as they did. You remember one of that picture of little Elian Gonzalez down there in Miami, of course, when they sent the SWAT team, 125 heavily armed men, to kidnap one little boy from a family that was totally unarmed,
so they
could send him back to Fidel Castro to build up Fidel Castro's prestige. But of course nobody ever wanted to say that, but that's what it was really all about. But they use these SWAT teams all over America. They've militarized our police. Many of our police forces have armored personnel carriers and all sorts of sophisticated weaponry to use against the population. I mean, the whole idea was originally that the people would be armed, the police would be armed, but the police would never be able, of course, to misuse their power. Today, of course, if you oppose the police in any way, when they're breaking into your home, why, they'll kill you. And in fact, many times they've broken into the wrong home and simply shot the people there, you know, and then apologized. Oh, shucks, we got a tip and we got the wrong home. Isn't that too bad? But nobody is ever held responsible.
There are many times I'm grateful that I'm not a youngster anymore. You're not allowed to be a parent today because the state wants to raise your children. I mean, they can take your children on almost any excuse they so desire if you're a smoker, and especially in your state of California. I mean, that state has gone absolutely ballistic, whereas marriage today is being totally redefined. I can't believe that court would come up with such a decision so as to appease the homosexuals. And it's not a done deal yet. I mean, I know people, same-sex couples are getting married, but that case is not done. But just the fact that they said it's all right... I'm sorry, I came from a different era.
Well, you're absolutely right. Well, here in California, of course, they put through a state legislation, a state bill voted on by the people, and the vast majority of the people supported it, saying that marriage consisted of a union between a man and a woman. The Supreme Court said that that was unconstitutional because people had a right to sodomy and the other activities of homosexuality, which, of course, there's no place in the Constitution of the state of California that says that. So they're going to try to then get through a state amendment to the Constitution so that they can say it's that this is what the Constitution says. But you have to understand that the judges don't believe in the Constitution.
Obviously.
They believe that they have a social agenda, and that is, of course, to destroy the morality of our country. And if you hate homosexuals, you would tell them it's perfectly all right to do what you do. Why? Because, of course, they die young, because they contract all sorts of disease, because homosexual people are not happy. I mean, they call it gay. It's exactly the antithesis of that. You sit down with the average lesbian, and she will unburden her heart and tell you she hates what she is. She just doesn't know how to get out of it. And the same is true with the homosexuals. And what are we doing? We are actively encouraging this lifestyle. And it's really not a lifestyle. It's a death style.
Can you believe that?
I can believe it.
If same-sex marriages are going to become legal, why not legalize polygamy? I mean, you can open the door to a whole new range of sick concepts under the same banner.
How about bestiality? I mean, what's wrong with bestiality if homosexuality is all right? You see, what about the rights of animals? Don't they have a right to the same things?
I mean,
you get to such absurd situations. Once you get away from God's law, of course, you get into real trouble.
Well,
and this is really what it's all about, Lou. I mean, there are certain laws that God has laid out for mankind, and as long as you abide by them, why, of course, you can live a full and free life. But once you begin to make up your laws as you go along, you're laying yourself open for all sorts of sadness and tragedy and disease and of course, in the case of homosexuality, a very early demise, because the homosexuals die far younger than the general population. But nobody ever talks about that. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, dear. But here we are. Here we are. And for how long, I have no idea.
Well, you know, of course, I remember those words of Thomas Jefferson so well, and I repeat them often. You know, God, who gave us life, gave us liberty, but can the liberty of a nation be secure when the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever. And, Lou, I really feel that God's judgment is coming on America, and it's coming on America very, very soon. And all we can do is be out there on the front lines sounding the alarm and trying to tell people that there's no incident in all history where a nation has turned its back on God and God's law where that nation has survived for very long.
This is why I think what you're doing is so very, very important. And with any luck, hopefully in the next several months, I'll be able to come back on the air once again and continue. But I cannot stress enough how I sincerely hope that your many listeners will continue to support you and your advertisers and your program. And you can't quit.
Well, we're not going to quit.
This, you know, you talked about me and how many years. You've been doing this for an extended period of time, and you do multiple programs every day. I mean, you devote more hours of your life to trying to get the truth out there, and the word, the real word, what's going on, and you can only hope and pray that people are listening, paying attention, and understand.
Well, you know, Chris, I think what a privilege it is to have an opportunity to reach different audiences. And, you know, we start the morning there in Colorado, and we get into Denver and Fort Collins into Boulder and even into Wyoming there. And it's only for an hour, but the program is usually replayed in the evening during drive time. So I don't know how many people we reach, but we know we must reach an awful lot. And then, of course, for the afternoon and then our evening programs, I feel it's a real privilege to do what I do and to be able, of course, not only to try to educate people, but proclaim the fact that there truly is a Lord out there. And, of course, our job is to obey the law, to obey the commandments, to fear God and keep his commandments. And if people were doing that, we sure wouldn't be in the mess we're in today. But
no, I meant to ask you, Dr. Stan, with all the hours you put in, do you have many people calling you disagreeing with your points of view?
Oh, sure we do. You can't, of course, do what I do without having some people call in. But, of course, you have to let them have their say. And I ordinarily will try to let them have their say, and I try to simply ask them questions. And it doesn't do any good, of course, to challenge people too strongly. But if you get them to think, and this is really what it's all about, is so many people never think. All they do is sort of parrot back what they've heard, whether it be why the Twin Towers came down or simply the advantages of socialized medicine or their intense belief that there is no God, that Christianity is not true. You can't convince people on the air that that the other person is wrong and that I'm right. But what I can do is try to get the people out there in the audience to think, because what we're really doing is talking to the audience and trying to get them to begin to learn how to debate and how to think effectively on these issues and put them into focus. And so I really feel this is a great, great privilege. I'm blessed to have the opportunity to do what I do.
Yeah. You know, when I think about it, in the 16 years that I was on every day, I did not get many people to call in and disagree. On occasion, really rarely. And I thought, I'm not talking. I'm not bringing up these various points.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a minute. Go right ahead. Go right ahead, Lou.
I'm not bringing up these points. Just to bring them up, I want your input. If I'm wrong, you know, and I would love to be wrong.
Yeah.
I would love to be wrong. Just show me where I'm wrong. I mean, what is so wrong with a belief in the Lord? What is so wrong with our Constitution? What is so wrong with freedom? Why are we so hell-bent on destroying the greatest nation that was ever conceived? And I believe literally that's exactly what we're doing. And it doesn't make sense. You try and understand it. You hear about various groups, organizations supposedly controlling the world. And you really got to figure, you know, there might be something to it because they control the media. They control all of the outlets. And people just believe what they see on TV or what they read in their daily press. And it's not necessarily fact. We can slant stories to paint whatever picture we really want. Just like the courts can, or the government can paint any picture of an individual that they want you to believe, whether they're right or not. And too often, they're not right.
Well, you know, I think really looking back through the years, some 45, 46 years, I've been 47 years now I've been doing this, I'm really more optimistic than I've ever been before, because now we certainly have the Internet. We have YouTube, which is an excellent, excellent vehicle of getting information out. We have shortwave. We have a whole network of people like yourself and myself and Alex Jones and Joyce Riley and
yeah.
Chuck Crismeyer and Pastor Butch Paw and Jack Rentz and Jack Blood and Jeff Rentz and Jack Blood. We could go on down the line of all these people, and we may differ at the Derry Brownfield. We may all differ, you know, on a few items, but I think all of us are concerned about what's happening to our freedom. We have never had this opportunity before to have alternative means of reaching the people. So, although things may appear to be bad, of course, let's just hope and pray that God can use all of these various mediums to reach the people and hopefully to get them to understand what's going on. And I really believe as things get worse, people are going to be willing to listen. That's my hope and my prayer.
Well, like I said earlier, I believe that the preponderance of the population of our nation are good, hard-working, decent people, and they're being brainwashed, and I think there's a lot of frustration among the general population.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest for the last hour has been Lou Epton. Always a pleasure to have Lou. Lou, do you have a parting thought before we let you go?
Just again, that I hope you have good support from all those of your followers, and I want to thank you very sincerely for inviting me to be on the program with you. It was really a pleasure, Dr. Stan.
God bless, and thanks very much for being with us.
And thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that was Lou Epton, certainly an old friend and a real pleasure to have. Well, Chris, this is the time when I do need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there across America listening to us and you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. And then, of course, we do hope that you are beginning to make your preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead, and if you haven't laid in a supply of food or medical supplies or the other things you're going to need, water, means of purifying your water with a Berkey water filter, and you'd like more information, our telephone number is 1-888 888-224-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Oh, I'm sorry, you want to call 1-800-544-8927. We've got so many 800 numbers. 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, we'll be glad to send you a free catalog on emergency food, a free catalog on health products, and, of course, a free catalog that lists all of the books and the tape sets and the other things we have you're not going to be able to find elsewhere. And, of course, right now, of course, we've got a great new CD that we send out that lists all of our books and keeps you right up to date on the things we have. It's awfully hard to keep the things in print that are completely up to date, but you can do that with a computer, and we're doing that regularly. So if you'd like to get information on emergency foods, if you'd like to get information on civilian defense, we have a four-tape set. If you'd like to get information on how to maintain your home if there was a chemical, biological, or nuclear attack, there's a DVD. It's called Sheltering in Place. Sheltering in Place. If you'd like to know about nuclear war survival skills, a publication originally put out by the civilian defense system here in America, that was when they wanted to save the lives of the American people, is no longer put out, but it's privately published now, and we're selling them all over the world. And I really believe people throughout the world realize that we're heading towards a nuclear confrontation in the Middle East, and they want to know how to make preparations. So if you'd like to get Nuclear War Survival Skills, the book, if you'd like to get the four-tape set on civilian defense, civil defense, I should say, if you'd like to get the book on making the best of basics. What do you do suddenly? You don't have any food. How do you prepare food? What do you do if you have wheat? Or how do you cook things when you don't have all the normal conveniences we have today? Making the best of books basics is a great book. My wife has read it and attested to that fact, and she keeps that right handy so she can have it available at all times. If you'd like information on any of these items, it was a suggested donation, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 or 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Let me suggest our new four-tape set on unusual diseases, certainly unusual diseases, at the talk that was given by Dr. Garth Nicholson at our last Radio Liberty conference. If you've not seen Constance Cumby's talk, The Emergence, Going into the Coming